Grace, mercy, and peace be with all of you here this day from our triune God. Amen. Well, it's once again time for the Nobel Peace Prize to be handed out. And in fact, it just happened this past week again. Since 1901, it's been awarded over 100 times. And over the years, 134 laureates have received it, 107 individuals, and 27 different organizations. So when it was announced last Friday, the Nobel Peace Prize went to Abiy Ahmed Ali. And it was given to him for his efforts to achieve peace and international cooperation, especially in the region where he lives, which is the northeastern part of Africa, and working with those countries up there, including governments of Ethiopia and also the Sudan up there. Back in 2017, it wasn't a person that got the Nobel Peace Prize, but it was rather given to the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons. And 10 years ago, 2009, it was Barack Obama who received the prize for his efforts at strengthening international diplomacy. And 40 years ago, well, that would have been 1979. You even remember 1979. Let me refresh your memory. That was the year that ushered in the Sony Walkman and also McDonald's Happy Meals and leg warmers. All of those things happened in 1979. 1979 was 40 years ago. It was that number of years that the Israelites wandered around out in the wilderness. 40 years is the amount of time that it takes for a new generation to rise. And over the course of four decades, people have moved from one era to the next. And so it was 40 years ago on October the 17th, 1979, that Mother Teresa of Calcutta was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. And as I mentioned to you last week in my sermon, when I talked a little bit about Mother Teresa, she heard the call from God to help the poor, and especially in that region of India, Calcutta, and founded a group then that was called the Missionaries of Charity, a group of sisters that worked there. And as you might also recall, I talked a little bit about exactly what kind of work she and these other sisters did. Now, according to the Nobel website, Mother Teresa was known as the saint in the gutter. And in her Nobel Prize acceptance speech, which is also posted there on the site, she said this: "I am sure this award is going to bring an understanding of love between the rich and the poor. That is why Jesus came to earth, to proclaim the good news to the poor. And through this award, and through all of us gathered here together, we are wanting to proclaim the good news to the poor, that God loves them, that we love them, that they are somebody to us, that they too have been created by the same loving hand of God to love and be loved. Our poor people are great people, are very lovable people. They don't need our pity and sympathy. They need our understanding love." So I couldn't help, when I was reading her acceptance speech here, to notice that one word in particular seemed to pop up again and again throughout that speech, the word love. Mother Teresa believed that this award was going to bring an understanding of love between the rich and the poor. She stressed that God loved the poor and that she loved them. The poor have been created by the same loving hand of God to love and to be loved. And she saw the poor as very lovable people who need nothing more than understanding love. Now, the group that Mother Teresa founded, Missionaries of Charity, is an organization that now numbers over 5,000 members. And their focus is exactly what their name says. They focus on charity. But unfortunately, I think that word charity is often misunderstood. So often these days, we think about charity as being the act of giving a handout to people in need, typically in the form of money. But the word charity actually comes from the Latin word caritas, which means affection. Charity, then, is fundamentally Christian love and affection. It is not necessarily a monetary gift. In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul challenges his younger colleague here by saying, "Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel." When we remember Jesus Christ, we remember his words then about love. Words which are not so much about that kind of fuzzy feeling that we get as much as they are a call to action. Love your enemies, Jesus commands, and pray for those who persecute you. And when asked which commandment was the greatest, Jesus' response was this: "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus also gave the order that we are to love our enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. "For your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High." And finally, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. By this everyone knows that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friend." So what then does it mean for us to remember Jesus? It means that we are to love your enemy, to love the Lord your God, to love your neighbor as yourself. Love Jesus. Love one another. Show so much love, in fact, that you were even willing to lay down your own life for your friend. Jesus gives us a call here to action in these words about love. He issues to all of us who are his followers this rather daunting challenge, which is why I think the Apostle Paul admits that he himself has suffered hardships as being a Christian. But he then says that he insists that we have died with him and we will also live with him. We have endured and we will also reign with him. Jesus wanted us to show love to the fullest and to show it to the very end of our own lives. Through our acts of sacrificial love, he wanted us to die and to live with him, as well as to endure and reign with him. I truly believe that the world today really needs to hear about this kind of Christian love, perhaps more now than ever before. Here in this country, there is no question about it. The rich are getting richer, and the poor are getting poorer. And there is not much understanding of love between these two groups. In fact, back in 2015, according to the Economic Policy Institute, the top 1% of families in the United States took home an average of 26 times as much as income as nearly the bottom 99%. So income equality has risen in nearly every single state, and it has had a lot of negative effects as a result, including increased crime, increased illnesses, and a decrease in high school graduations. Now, back in 1979, Mother Teresa won the Nobel Peace Prize for reaching out to the poor with Christian love. And she didn't just judge them here, but instead offered them affection and assistance. Her loving actions were the way that she remembered Jesus, raised from the dead, even though these actions caused her own personal hardships. And we can do the very same thing as we seek to create an understanding of love between the rich and the poor. Mother Teresa knew poor people are great people, are very lovable people, and they don't need our pity and sympathy. They need our understanding love. All of us, whether we are rich or poor, are created by the same loving hand of God, made to love and to be loved. So let's begin perhaps a new era now, especially in the life of the church. A call to action in which we do our very best to present ourselves to God as a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth. We can be Christians who actively love God, love our neighbor, and willingly lay down our lives for our friends. Amen.